Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and I'm going to be talking about the good deal gone bad, what that means, and how you can avoid going bad on any deal. First off, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm like decked out in like a winter parka. I just got back from Florida. I was gone in Florida for about 3 weeks. Went to Destin, where unfortunately it snowed on the beach. That was a really fun experience. Playing in the snow on the beach in Florida, not what I was hoping for. Probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience I didn't really care for, but because I went down there to get away from the snow, and it followed me down there. But I did get to go to Orlando and enjoy Disney World, and it also made me double down my hate for investing in Disney World or investing in Orlando, because I just don't understand how you can compete with Disney World and some of the other resorts around there. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about the good deal gone bad, and what I'm hearing and seeing currently in the marketplace. One of the struggles I have found is that I see a lot of posts, whether it's from realtors, whether it's from maybe influencers or gurus in the space, promoting certain types of investments or different properties. And for me, as an investor, they don't make a lot of sense. For example, let's take a $700,000 home and let's dump in $300,000 into design, decor, amenities, and updates. And this property will, you know, crank a lot of revenue. The problem, though, is although that can be true, and there are people who are doing that. So I want to preference that. Like, people aren't lying. They're not saying that you're making things up, but they're hedging their bets upon a couple of properties that have done the same thing. Or have done this, and they're saying that you can replicate that, but they're almost making it sound like you can replicate that for every single property out there in any market. And that's really, really dangerous. And in my opinion, isn't actually real estate investing. So what I mean by that is we are real estate investors, not just short-term rental operators. So although it's important to cash flow, which is what this podcast is called, it's also important to make wise and prudent real estate investing decisions, meaning that we need to have multiple exit strategies in case something goes south or an investment doesn't work out. What I mean by multiple exit strategies, one being, can you actually sell that property and recoup or at least break even what actually went into the deal? The problem with buying something at, I'm throwing out random numbers here. We'll say 750 this time, $750,000 and dumping in $250,000 to $300,000 on top of already a 10 or 20% down payment, because you have so much cash into the deal. And if something were to happen, are you going to be able to recoup that in 3 to 5 years from selling the property? Probably not. Because let's face it, adding a barrel sauna, adding a hot tub, adding a pickleball court even does not improve the value of the property. Converting a garage into more bedrooms does not improve the value of the property, believe it or not. Okay, it's the bedrooms, especially in some of these markets, are based on septic or sewer or whatever the city might deem. But a lot of times converting garages into bedrooms doesn't actually improve the value of the property. Now, is that wrong of people to convert? No, not at all. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is a lot of these people are buying peak market prices and their only strategy is cash flow. That's the only strategy. There's no built-in appreciation. We're assuming that these properties will appreciate over time. But the problem is that they're entering into the zone of what I call keeping up with the Joneses, meaning they're going and they're buying these properties in hopes that they can just inject a ton of capital into them, that they'll cash flow every single year without fail into perpetuity, eternity, and eventually sell out, cash out, and upgrade to another property. But the problem is they're buying properties that are at the peak of the market, and appreciation, especially right now, is maybe 3%, okay, which is the standard for a lot of market. Maybe it's 5% in some of these other areas, but the reality is it's not going to be like 30%, okay? And in some areas, the prices are kind of dropping. It's depreciating. So we have to be careful in buying at the peak market, and that's why the good deal gone bad are people who are buying at these high prices, injecting a ton of capital in, and hoping for the best, okay? Are we buying something where we can improve the value of the home? Or are we buying something where we made money on the buy? And that's what I want to talk about, because a lot of times when I'm working with our clients and helping them find properties, we're trying to make money on the buy first. And that's actually the priority along with the cash flow. Meaning, like, I want the best deal possible, but I also don't want to pay at the top of the market. So when I'm looking for properties to invest in, my eye is on how can I make money on the buy so I have a safe exit strategy in case something were to go awry. And the fact of the matter is, and what I've experienced is, like, you can't predict what we call black swan events. So like COVID was a black swan event, something that was unprecedented, something that's never happened before that impacted markets impacted entire economies across the entire world. And it could be micro black swan events. Like, for example, Hurricane Helene in Asheville wiped out a peak season in Asheville of October, where no one would have predicted a hurricane could impact an inland city mountain market. Okay. So understanding that black swan events can happen, that doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't invest at all, because there's always risk with any investment, but it does mean that we need to hedge our bets. Okay. And we need to be careful about when we buy and what we buy, and making sure it's not just at the market heights. Did we overpay? Because it's really hard to sell in 3 to 5 years if we've overpaid without losing any money at all. Now, if you're listening to this and you feel like, hey, maybe I overpaid, maybe I did exactly what Kenny is saying don't do, it's not the end of the world. Okay, it really isn't. It's just about, we're thinking about future purchases. We're thinking about, number one, we need to learn, okay, learn from, I wouldn't say it's a mistake, just learn from, like, the risk component of it, and understand what you can do differently next time. Okay, that's what it's about. How can I improve, get a better deal for the next one? To be frank, the properties I buy and I purchase, they can do well, but I'm always, the next deal, I'm always looking for something different. I'm always looking for, what can I learn from my experience so far, and how can I do better? Okay. Some of us, we make mistakes out the gate, and we learn, and maybe it was a really expensive mistake and we're not making any money or cash flowing at all. And we bought at the top of the market on top of it and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'm really made a big mistake. But how can we learn from that mistake and then grow with our experience and actually buy something that does make sense? And I think we all need to be thinking about making money on the buy, okay? Whether that's doing some sort of renovation or up. So finding a property and either negotiating it down, or it's maybe already priced right in a sense where it's not at the top of the market, and getting what we need, you know, to get that price down. So we have some equity built in, or we can do some sort of renovation, like a BRRRR, so the rehab essentially, where there's cushion, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've met people who are like, yeah, I bought in that saturated market and, you know, my property's not doing as well as it was doing before, but honestly, I got it at such a good price that it's breaking even, but I'm not losing money on it like everybody else because I got it at such a good price. And I understand that, like, a good price, you know, you might, oh, well, 200,000, 100, it just depends on the property, obviously. But the fact that, like, that's such a good comfort to know of, hey, at the end of the day, this thing is still going to at least break even, and I could sell it and I could actually make a little bit money from it. You make the majority of your money. This is important in your buying decisions. You make the majority of your money from actually buying properties that are, or when you sell your property, not the cash flow from the property, believe it or not, okay? Meaning like when you sell your property, the your appreciation from that property will be more than the cash flow that you've gained throughout the years. Unless you hold on to it for like maybe 20 years. But even then, I mean, it's still like you still, it'll appreciate a lot, assuming it's been a good deal. So if you know that going in, then appreciation really should be a huge factor in terms of the buy, but not necessarily. This is something that people ask me all the time of what markets appreciate the best. And I'm like, that's a tricky one, because the reality is really the markets that appreciate the best are the markets that people are moving to, but we're not really buying properties where people are moving to. So it's more just like vacation markets, but they've kind of slumped recently, most of them. So it's not necessarily about finding markets necessarily that appreciate faster than others. It's more about finding the right deals that will appreciate over time, but you've got that cushion. You've bought low so that in the future you can sell high. And you can do that anywhere. But what I'm seeing people do is buy high and then think that because they injected a ton of capital into it, they can just sell high in the future too. But that's not a long-term strategy, okay? It's not actually real estate investing. And when they are disappointed, which happens actually a lot, and you don't hear about those stories, that's the problem. You don't hear about a lot of failures from all the investors. I get to hear the failures because I get to, like, people come to me and they're trying to get help, right? What can I do? What amenities can I add? How can I improve my property? But when you're not in it, which, you know, in terms of the helping the people, which most people aren't posting this stuff on social media. You're only hearing about the successes. And that's what people are striving for. But then there's this whole ballpark of people who have failed or who overpaid or overbought or overspent or whatever. And you're not hearing that side of it. And so one of the things that we have to understand is like, we have to be realistic as real estate investors. Okay, be a real estate investor first and then a short-term rental operator. Okay. Yes, a designer can come in and turn a property into an amazing property and make it look great and all this cool stuff. But does that improve the value of the property? No, it does not, unless they're doing renovation, right? Okay. Or like if they're adding bathrooms or adding legal bedrooms, the keyword legal. Okay. They're adding those things. Yes. Or adding a pool or those big types of things that truly improve the value of the real estate. Okay. That's a different story. But having a designer come and tell you, oh, well, this property can do $200,000 if we spend $250 or $300 on it. Does that realistically make a good real estate investor sense? No, it doesn't. Because how are you going to make your money when you sell? You're not. You're just relying purely on cash flow, which we don't want to just do that. Okay. And it's risky, meaning what if you don't hit that number? What else can you do? Nothing. That's it. So you have to be really careful and strategic on how you do these purchases. That's why I think it's a terrible idea to go in and follow the same model, this templated model of throw a ton of money at properties and assume that they're going to do well like the other ones. Okay. It's not that like I said back at the beginning, it's not that this stuff doesn't work. It can work, but you only hear the success stories, right? And if it was truly a perfected model, why haven't we heard more of this? And, you know, it just goes hand in hand with like focus on making the buy. And it's okay to go in and spend a lot of money on a property and invest in a property and make it awesome, especially the short term model. It's totally fine to, in fact, honestly, you can do that. Then yes, do that. And it will do well, but make the money on the buy. Be the real estate investor first and then the short-term rental operator. Okay. Not the other way around, which is what the majority of social media wants you to believe. The people who are selling the properties or wanting you to buy the properties, that's what they want you to believe. And that's not how it works. Okay. So be smart about how you invest so you don't have that good deal that goes bad. And you're not gambling. When you buy low and you sell high, or let's just say you buy low and you have that cushion, you are now a real estate investor. When you buy high and you inject a ton of capital in it just purely for cash flow, that's gambling. Okay. It pays off when you put all your money on black. It's either going to be black or red, but sometimes it hits red. Okay. And you don't want to be in that situation. I do not gamble. I don't go to casino. I actually like watching people gamble because I think it's just fun to watch. You know, I'm like, I don't know how like this person could risk that much money. And then all of a sudden, you know, they win. It's yeah. But like, I personally can't do that. It's just fun to watch. But don't be a gambler. Be an investor. Be a smart investor, a wise investor. And sometimes that might involve turning things down, might make sense, or someone has evidence to prove, but isn't necessarily the best real estate investing play. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Join me for this next one where I brought in a real estate investor and we actually talk about a live deal that's been pumped up as, you know, the second coming of real estate investment deals and why we don't think it actually is a great deal in terms of like what it was propped up to be. I'll see you on the next episode.